Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Everyone in Milwaukee's trying to figure out who's supposed to help the baby right now. We get even more news heading up to the start of Game 1 of the NBA Finals that we've now have to sort through. It's Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Golic Jr. here alongside our ESPN ACC Network host and reporter, Katie George, kind enough to join us today. What's going on, Katie?
Not a whole lot, Mike. What's up? Thanks for having me.
Not too much. You guys can normally hear Katie George as a part of Best Week Ever on Sunday mornings on ESPN Radio as well. But Katie, as we get ready and get set to go today, we got a lot to talk about. We got the match coming up at 5:30 today in the world of golf. We're going to see Tom Brady, a very interesting version of Aaron Rodgers, going out to the course in a little bit to get some swings in. We got Major League Baseball's All-Star Game coming up with one of the most unique shows in sports, but we know all eyes tonight are going to be on the start of the NBA Finals and what we've got coming up between the Suns and the Bucks. And the latest news for anyone that's been following this, Giannis Antetokounmpo, the star and the former two-time MVP for the Bucks, was beginning this day as doubtful to play in Game 1. Well, just about an hour ago, according to Adrian Wojnarowski with Malika Andrews, Milwaukee's Giannis Antetokounmpo has continued around-the-clock treatment on his left knee with the hopes of becoming cleared to play Game 1 of the Finals versus Phoenix tonight. There's expected to be a game-time decision on his availability. And so, Katie, we spent all day talking about his injury status here. Do you think this is the right move by the Bucks to essentially rush the process of getting Giannis back for Game 1?
I don't know if it's necessarily the right move to rush him back, but I can tell you from having worked with the Milwaukee Bucks and watching Giannis operate day in and day out from a practice standpoint, as well as going through an 82-game season and then into the playoffs, that he is pushing to play. I don't know where he is at in terms of percentage-wise, if he's feeling 80% or even 90, 95% after we saw that hyperextension just 7 days ago in Game 4 down in Atlanta. But he's pushing to play because he knows what's at stake here, and he knows one speed, Gojo, and that's to play and be the best person on that court for his team. And you know, quite frankly, I didn't think that the Bucks needed him necessarily to play in tonight's Game 1 against the Suns, because this Bucks team is coming off two massive wins in Games 5 and Game 6 against Atlanta, where Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday were phenomenal. And so this is a team that just won the Eastern Conference Championship by committee. Their belief and their confidence in one another is so high. So if you were going to ask for a moment when not to have Giannis, I would say it'd be Game 1, going off of that high into this series against the Suns. But they say that Giannis is working around the clock. He had private workouts with a slew of different medical staff members watching him yesterday. So if they feel like he can go, he's certainly asking and pushing and fighting for the fact that he wants to be in that starting lineup. It'll just be interesting to see what they decide after he goes through warmups tonight.
This is going to be really incredible. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, because one of the biggest questions that we were getting ready to ask coming up in this game was just what you mentioned, Katie, and just what the Bucks have done, adjusting without Giannis on the floor. Here was Chris Middleton, one of the guys who starred in those last two games. He and Drew Holiday both over 60 points, helping lift their team. This is what he talked about in the way the team is adjusted without Giannis on the floor.
When Giannis is out there, a lot of times we could just give him the ball and let him go to work and, you know, let him orchestrate a lot of things out there. Without him, we have to do it by committee, moving the ball around, driving it a little bit more, playing just a little bit faster with a little bit of different flow. But, you know, I think guys have done a great job of adjusting with him not out there and, you know, to the most important games of our season.
So, Katie, with that in mind and the way they've adjusted, you saw a more aggressive Drew Holiday, a more aggressive Chris Middleton. And my biggest concern, I said with the news that we had this morning, I would pick the Phoenix Suns in seven games in this series, because my thought process was, at some point, you're going to get Giannis back. And when you do, Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday are great teammates. They're going to want to see Giannis succeed. They're going to try and help get him back involved in the game plan. But they're not knowing what percentage of Giannis is going to be out there with them. Mike Budenholzer, their coach, doesn't know how much time he's going to be able to put Giannis on the court. And so now that we've sped up that process here, Katie, what's your thought on getting this out of the way now? Because I thought that adjustment period, we've seen it affect teams all postseason long, was going to cost them a game at some point here. Is there an argument that maybe, as long as Giannis feels good enough to go, we know that's the bare minimum line we got to clear here out of safety for the player, is there a thought of maybe getting that kind of transition game out of the way early?
I think there is, because we saw with Chris Paul just a series ago when he came out of quarantine, right? I think he was 19 of his first 60 shooting. He very much struggled in terms of finding his shot and just getting through some of that rust against the Clippers. We saw that just a week ago, a couple of days ago, actually, with Trae Young when he tried to play in Game 6. And surely, I mean, he wasn't at his best. You could see that he was struggling just to try to fight his way through Game 6. And ultimately, it resulted in a loss for the Atlanta Hawks. So I wonder if Giannis thinks he feels good enough to play, if they say, hey, let's just put him out there. Guys, he's not 100%. Jrue Holiday, you still have to attack the rim. You still have to be as aggressive as you were in Games 5 and Game 6. Same thing goes for you, Chris Middleton. Brook Lopez, you have to be a force and pressure DeAndre Ayton and others at the rim. But let's just get Giannis out there so that he can kind of work through some of that rust, because it's been 7 days since that injury, which is an eternity in the NBA. And, you know, when I was working in Milwaukee, it was funny. When they beat the Pistons in the first round, they swept them in four. And then there was this long layoff for the Bucks before they went to Boston to start playing the Celtics in round two. And Giannis said, I hate the waiting game. I hate waiting. I just wish we could play every other day, because you stay in rhythm. And for a guy like that who thrives on that kind of rhythm and playing basketball, playing the game, I wonder for him if it's like, hey, I'm not at 100%, but let's just get out there. Let's work through some of the rest. Let's see how I feel. And we're going to still need to rely on all those guys who got us to this point.
That's going to be really interesting, because, Katie, so much of what's going on right now, waiting to see his status, watching it turn as the day goes, hearing that this could be a game-time decision, it reminds me a lot of another series that the Bucks played in against the Brooklyn Nets. Because we went through this with James Harden in Game 5. The series was tied 2-2. James Harden and that hamstring had been a story leading up, and all of a sudden, he went from doubtful to questionable to probable to going out there in a game that, after we watched it, he should not have played, and he was a shell of himself out there. But sure. Katie, we all said, based on his style of play, that might have worked. For Giannis, the real compelling part of this becomes, if you don't get him out there with the dominant athleticism we're used to, with the explosiveness on offense, being able to take guys off the dribble, and defensively, I mean, he's a former Defensive Player of the Year. Is he helping or hurting this team by being out there on the court if all of a sudden, I mean, unless you're going to use him as a glorified decoy in that spot, Katie, there's an argument that the players you have now are in such a rhythm that maybe giving him that extra time until they play, I think the next game would be Thursday or Friday, to really heal this thing up all the way.
I think that's the most difficult part of it, right? Like you mentioned, James Harden was a shell of himself. At that point, if I'm a teammate and we're rolling and we're playing well and we just kind of got into a rhythm without Giannis, without a James Harden, let's keep rolling. Give him a couple more days of rest, because I'd rather know going into the game we're not going to have Giannis. That's just a fact. Everybody's going to need to step up. We're going to need Brook Lopez to drop 33 points again like we saw him do in Game 5 against the Hawks. We're going to need Chris Middleton and Jrue Holiday to be phenomenal again without him. But then when you throw it in the mix that he might play, I think it just shifts your mentality just a little bit as one of his teammates, because then you think, even if he's not 100%, how much can I rely on him? Because he gets them out of trouble so often. They just throw the ball into him inside the paint and they let him go to work. When he's not on the court, though, and they know that going into ahead of time, I feel like it just helps their offense and it sets the standard of what's expected. It's all about managing expectations, right? And so when you throw Giannis in there, say tonight he does play, which would be awesome. Everybody wants to see the best players play. You don't want to see Giannis come back in games 3 or 4 of this series, right? We want to see our superstars. But if he's not 100%, I wonder if that just hurts the Bucks in games 1. And time is on their side right now, right? If you go down 1-0, it's not the end of the world. I don't think that's when you hit the panic button. But maybe give him a couple more days so he feels 90%, 95%. And so there's not this big drop off in his play and the expectation from his teammates.
Katie, I think you just hit on what's been one of the biggest factors outside of outright injury in this playoff is uncertainty about status. I think having those question marks around one of your stars and throwing that in the lap of the rest of the team has been one of the biggest detriments to most squads during this postseason. So we'll get to plenty more on that in a bit, and how much the pressure of not even the legacy conversations, but the opportunity versus the long-term goals for this franchise and their star player. What should the Milwaukee Bucks be thinking about doing with Giannis right now, knowing they got him locked up for a good long time? Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. And we're reminding you, the NBA Finals are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight, Game 1, as the Suns host the Bucks, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN Radio stations. We'll talk to John Barry that's on that call, and just a note from cleaning up earlier, Game 2 will be on Thursday, coming up later this week. But coming up next, if we're going to talk about long-term and legacy, the conversation naturally shifts to Chris Paul. But I think that's not the biggest question we need answered when it comes to one of the biggest stars left in the postseason. We'll get to that next here. Chenan Golick Jr., Mike Golick Jr., Katie George filling in here on ESPN Radio and ESPN+.
Chenan Golick Jr., the podcast.
Mike Golick Jr., Katie George here on Chenan Golick Jr. on ESPN Radio. And Katie, I don't know about you, I'm sitting here waiting around. So the match starts at 5:30 Eastern, correct? Is that what we're looking at here?
I think pre-course coverage begins at 5:30. Maybe it does start at 5:30, I'm not sure.
So we're going to have Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Bryson DeChambeau, and Phil Mickelson going out there, the two-on-two match like we saw last year with Tiger, Tom, Peyton Manning, the same group. By and large, Katie, are you like me wondering if we might actually get like a real NFL breaking news kind of soundbite from this thing?
I am, especially because of the promos that I've already seen where Tom Brady is just an absolute savage calling him out left and right about his current situation in Green Bay. I'm excited for that, of what we see from Aaron Rodgers. And I'm also excited to see, could we possibly see a Brooks Koepka sighting? Just what if Brooks Koepka just showed up in Montana and was just heckling Bryson DeChambeau from the sides?
I need them to play like the Stone Cold Glass Break on the broadcast and just have Brooks march out onto the course there for him. So we're going to keep an eye on that because I'm with you, Katie. I think there's so many ways this can go. This could be a ton of fun coming up later today. And so we have more on that coming up here in just a little bit. But as we've talked so much already about Game 1 of the NBA Finals tonight, we'll keep everyone up to date because we heard from Malika Andrews and Adrian Wojnarowski that Giannis' status right now has been moved from doubtful to questionable, that they're trying to get him to a game time decision tonight. And there can be a conversation about his legacy wrapped up in all of this, Katie. But as we look towards the other side, the Phoenix Suns open this thing right now as favorites. According to Caesars, William Hill, the Suns are 5.5-point favorites for Game 1. They're favorites in this series right now to start things off. And this all seems to boil down to Chris Paul now, Katie. So where are you on this needing to be a big Chris Paul legacy booster in this conversation? Like, does he really need a championship to punctuate things here?
I don't think so. I feel like just getting to this point in the way that he's gone about it has solidified himself as one of the best and top point guards ever in the NBA. I don't necessarily think that he has to have an NBA Finals next to his name for it to change everything that we already know and believe to be who is Chris Paul and what he represents as a basketball player. I think if anything, if he wins one, of course, it's going to mean the world to him, but it's just going to silence some of the doubters who say, oh, no, he can't be one of the top point guards in the conversation because he doesn't have an NBA trophy next to his name. I think he's already solidified himself as one of the best, but maybe this is the one next step that adds to quiet all those doubters.
Yeah, and I think that's just it, right? Like, you'd like that for him on that front because there are a lot of people that dangle that carrot over his head, despite the fact that we all largely look at this accomplished, incredible point guard and think that he belongs in that rarefied air. But this becomes, I think, the real question then, because I'm with you. I don't think there's a lot of that legacy stuff baked into a guy who's 16 years deep in this. Like, you're just happy to see him finally get this opportunity. Or are you? Like, because that's the other part of the Chris Paul experience, Katie, that we got, especially in the last round, is this is a guy who I feel like so much of what he does off the court, he's the head of the NBA Players Association, he's got the fun ads out there, kind of covers up the fact that on the court he does a lot of really questionable stuff that makes him hard to root for. Like, do we like Chris Paul? Are we actually rooting for him in this series?
It's such a funny question because I love Chris Paul. I love everything about his game. I love that he's this veteran who came in to save, not necessarily save, but swooped in and just totally changed the dynamic of this Phoenix Suns team, right? They had all this young talent, but couldn't quite get it together. He comes in, adds that kind of leadership and that mentorship that has put them now in an NBA Finals, where 3 seasons ago they had won just 19 games. But to your point, there's some things that he does on the court throughout the course of a game that you just kind of think, oh, why'd you have to do that, Chris? Because I think he's so likable off the court, right? You mentioned the State Farm commercials and what he's been able to do as the president of the NBPA. But then you watch the flops and you watch some of the taunting. And I think this story sums it up perfectly. I was out in Denver visiting my future in-laws on Wednesday night. And I said, hey, to my future father-in-law, would you mind if we just turned on game 6? Because the Clippers and the Suns are playing and the Suns could win it and go on to the NBA Finals. He's like, yeah, sure. This is not a man who watches the NBA. He turns on the Nuggets when they're playing on a one-off chance, right? So we're sitting down, we're watching, we're talking about why he doesn't like the NBA. So that was the starting point, okay? And so I'm telling him why he should like the NBA. So there's this back and forth conversation going as we're watching this game, right? And then Chris Paul just starts to light it up in the second half, and it's so much fun to watch. And he admits, he's like, wow, this is so impressive. But then you start to see some of those nuances come in, where I think it was Boogie Cousins kind of threw an elbow underneath the basket and Chris Paul goes flying and totally sold it and flopped. And it was funny because my father-in-law says, I just don't like that guy. And I was like, really? I was like, well, hold on. And then I got into like defensive mode, right? I started defending Chris Paul and telling all the reasons why he needed to like him. And at the end of it, then Lou Williams pushes Chris Paul from behind, right? And then he gets up and he starts clapping and like walking away. And literally my future father-in-law like stands up. He's like, yeah, like you can stop trying to defend him. I don't like him. And he like walks off. And I'm like, that's kind of where we're at, right? Some people absolutely love him. And some people, it just, they don't feel right watching him play the game.
Yeah, I think that is the perfect synopsis. I said you're right. That Game 6 game, the altercation with Pat Beverly, like it's the perfect.
Oh, Pat Beverly, excuse me.
It's trust me, you know, former Clippers, old habits die hard, but it's the entire Chris Paul experience kind of summed up right there. I remember Katie on a relationship podcast, like one of those relationship and dating things someone was talking about. They said, you're never going to like 100% of anyone, even the person that you love the most. The real question becomes, when you're going to spend time with somebody, what percentage of the bad stuff are you willing to tolerate for all the good that comes with it? And I think Chris Paul is the perfect example of that, because we have seen him turn into such an unbelievable mentor for a guy like DeAndre Ayton. We have seen him come in and really stabilize a team that was already hot last year. So, yeah, we might have to deal with him tapping somebody in the no-no places every now and then on court, which certainly you'd really like to see him eliminate that part of his game specifically. Like, really, Chris, if you can just calm down one part.
It hasn't happened just once.
Yeah, he's a habitual something puncher in this spot. Not sure what I can say on radio, but I can tell you that ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle auto, home, or motorcycle insurance. Visit progressive.com. So we got a habitual line stepper on one side in Chris Paul, and we got a former two-time MVP on the other side that we're trying to see if he can get back on the court. How do the Bucks adjust to an uncertain future with their top superstar? We'll ask one of their great analysts next here after this word from 5-Hour Energy. Now, did you hit the productivity wall after a big lunch? Oh, man, this is targeted. Let's let 5-Hour Energy Shots help you leap over that wall instead of crashing into it. 5-Hour Energy's got zero sugar and a convenient portable size. It's the perfect little pick-me-up. And if you have big lunches, right, like me, you need a little pick-me-up. It's available in a lot of delicious flavors like watermelon, tropical burst, cherry, peach mango, and so, so much more. Go to 5hourenergy.com today and use the promo code GOLIC to receive 10% off your order. That's the number 5hourenergy.com and promo code GOLIC for 10% off. This offer cannot be used with other promotions, and the code is not applicable on subscription orders. Back after this, checking in Milwaukee here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
The Western Conference Finals are done.
There's the horn.
For the first time in 28 years.
First time since 1974.
The Phoenix Suns.
The Milwaukee Bucks are going to the NBA Finals.
The Suns and Bucks are set for Game 1 tonight of the NBA Finals. But who's going to be out in the court Could one of the biggest swings in the series start in game one? It's Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr., Katie George filling in for Janae Agumake today. Excited to have her here and excited to talk to our next guest here as we get set for game one tonight. And questions about Giannis's availability are starting to rise up, as we heard from Malika Andrews and Adrian Wojnarowski. Giannis has been moved from doubtful to questionable for this game and has been pushing with round-the-clock treatment to try and be ready for game one. So for more on that, we head to the Goodyear hotline to talk to Marcus Johnson, five-time NBA All-Star and TV analyst for the Milwaukee Bucks. Marcus, how you doing? We appreciate you giving us some time.
I'm doing great, man. How you guys doing?
We're doing well, and I got to imagine it's an interesting time for the Milwaukee Bucks right now. You've heard the latest on Giannis' status here. Do you understand this team pushing to try and rush him back for game one right now? Is this the right decision for the Milwaukee Bucks, Marcus?
Well, you know, I wouldn't characterize it as such, Mike, them pushing. You know, I've had the privilege of watching Giannis, and Katie was with me last season, when he has pushed through himself some injuries, potential injuries that I thought would put him on the shelf for a game, a week, a month. We had a situation against Portland this year when he was warming up before the game. Something happened to his knee, and he sat down, he rubbed the knee, he limped off the floor. This is before the game. And I remember remarking to my partner, Joe Passi, it looks like he's going to be out, you know, probably a game, maybe four or five games, who knows. He played that night, had 47 points. He didn't play the next couple of nights because of knee, something was going on with it. So my point is this, is that he knows his body well. If he's getting back out there, it's because he feels like whatever's going on with that hyperextended knee is something that he's going to be able to handle and not risk further injury. So I have all the confidence in the world in his knowing his body and in the medical staff and the coaching staff. You know, error on the side of caution as opposed to trying to throw him back out there because we need game one. We don't need game one. We'd love to win game one, but we don't need game one. And the series against Atlanta and Brooklyn especially kind of showed that.
We, of course, Marcus, want to see Giannis out there because he draws eyeballs and he's so much fun to watch. So regardless of if he plays or not, from the other players, the committee, and the performances you saw in games 5 and 6 against Atlanta, what needs to continue from some of those guys like Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday?
Hey, where's my hello? Hey, Katie.
Hi, how are you? How are you?
You just going to jump right into all business. That's all good. Great talking to you. You've been doing a phenomenal job. But that's the other point to the question Mike just asked about Giannis and kind of pushing him back out there maybe too early. This team has already shown in those two games against a very good Atlanta Hawks basketball team that was frankly kind of playing, you know, maybe a bit over their heads with the wins over the Knicks and the win over the Sixers. But they've shown with Bobby Portis and Brook Lopez and P.J. Tucker and everybody else that they can win games without Giannis. Now, Phoenix, obviously, is a different animal. They're playing. They play great basketball also. They play great basketball. They were like 8-0 in the bubble last year. So this thing kind of started last year for them. But the fact that Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday have the kind of confidence that they have. Drew was struggling against Brooklyn. I felt so bad for him, guys, that I texted his dad, Sean, who's a friend of mine, Sean Holiday, and I said, look, man, we still believe in Drew. We have not given up on him. He's going to be okay. You know, he's like, I appreciate that, you know, and we feel that way too. But the point is that these guys are having that play with so much confidence against Atlanta that this team feels like, yeah, we need Giannis to win. Obviously, he makes us a better basketball team if you're the Bucks, but they feel like they can compete and get by without him. So if he plays again, it's because of the fact that he's going to feel like he's out there and he's ready.
Janae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Katie George talking to Marcus Johnson, Milwaukee Bucks TV analyst, five-time NBA All-Star, spent a great amount of time with the Milwaukee Bucks. And you mentioned Drew Holiday here. We know he's going to have an interesting defensive assignment. You've got Chris Paul and Devin Booker in that backcourt for the Phoenix Suns. You've got a host of defensive weapons for the Bucks. How do you think they attack those stars on the other side for Phoenix heading into night one?
Well, I mean, with Devin Booker, his ability to adjust his release point on his shot, and that's an old school deal. Alex English used to do it extremely well. I did it as a player. Bernard King, you think about some of those guys, he doesn't shoot the same way every single time. He gets against a bigger player, he's extending that thing way above his head, especially mid-range jump shots. So he's awful tough. Chris Paul is, is taking over games, closeout games. He's dominating, especially second halves of games. Give me the damn ball, get out the way. He, you know, 16 years, first finals, more games than almost anybody, you know, except for Kevin Willis, having not made a final. So he's playing with another level of motivation. So this to me, guys, is all about sense of urgency. Both teams are going to have that. But who can impose their will on their opponents? And I believe with Drew Holiday and especially with P.J. Tucker, the toughness element for the Bucks has increased exponentially. And that's going to be a big key in terms of who wins this series. It's going to be a knockout, drag out, knockout, drag down series. Knockdown, drag out, excuse me. You know, but a game-to-game adjustment series. But to me, it's all about setting the tone early. Who's going to impose their will? Who's going to make the other stars the most uncomfortable? And it's going to be a challenge because Chris is playing great. Devin Booker, 47 points against the Lakers in that closeout game. I love him as a player. But you got other guys out there, too. So DeAndre Ayton, you know, and Brook Lopez, great matchup. Ayton, 70% from the field, all-time record so far in the playoffs for 150 field goal attempts minimum. So it's going to be about imposing your will. Schemes and all that, both teams have got them out the behind. You got to worry about all that stuff. Great coaches and adjustments and all that will be happening game to game. But which team mentally is coming out here with a tougher mindset? And that's going to be the challenge for the Bucks with the way the Suns have played all season long.
Marcus, I know you're out in Phoenix right now getting ready for tonight's game, but you've also been in Milwaukee as this Bucks team has gone on this incredible playoffs run. You've seen Pfizer Forum Plaza absolutely packed for every single game. What do you think it would mean for this city to be able to finally get an NBA final since 1974?
Well, you know, this city is taking, it still takes a lot of shots as the small market kind of inferiority kind of complex at times as a mindset. And so to be able to have the good things about Milwaukee showcased on this international platform, it's going to do wonders. And you're seeing that with the Deer District right now. And you know, Katie, it's all about, you know, Peter Fagan and the owners and the vision that they had when they took over 7 years ago. And to see it play out now, man, it's just been, it's been a great ride. I've been here for six of those 7 years and through some lean years and some struggling years. But, hey, right now the city's on top of the world. The city's the focal point of the sports world for the next week to 10 days or however long the finals last. So it's an important time in terms – and not only for the city itself and the franchise, $3 million per home game, but also for free agents. You know, so now Milwaukee becomes a destination place. You look at what's going on in Milwaukee, the 30,000 fans in the Deer District, the kind of support they're getting. If you're a free agent, you're looking at Milwaukee differently now. It's like, hey, you know, that might be a place that I need to put on my list to consider in terms of joining up with that organization.
Especially when you've got the long-term stability of knowing Giannis, now signed, sealed, and delivered for a good long time out in a Bucks uniform there. Marcus, we thank you so much for giving us some time tonight. Enjoy game one. We're looking forward to the action.
Thanks, Marcus.
All right. Appreciate you. Thank you, Katie. Appreciate you. Good talking to you.
Reminder, guys, the Daily Wager NBA Finals special is on ESPN Radio and starts at 7 o'clock Eastern. Doug Kazarian and Tyler Folgum are going to break down the Bucks and Suns using betting lines and giving you great wagering info that you can use heading up to tip-off, so you won't want to miss that. But coming up next, you won't want to miss this. We saw another exciting game in the Stanley Cup Final last night. No one is going to give you coverage of that quite like our guy Ryan Matlack. Next here on ESPN Radio, it's On Thin Ice.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
It's Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Golic Jr., ACC Network reporter and host Katie George. Other friend of the show, Katie Nolan, as well. But Katie George here with us today. Very excited in a little bit, by the way, to get into with Katie some news around the Miami Hurricanes football program. And his name, image, and likeness has been the story of the last week in college sports. It's already pushing the bounds on what people were comfortable with. We will get to some news surrounding that in just a little bit. But you guys know around here at ESPN Radio, the marquee hockey coverage at this network takes place right now on this program, and it is led by a pioneer, a man who knows the ice like the back of his hand. Ryan Matlack, our intrepid producer, has brought you the NHL coverage all postseason that you look for. We are here in the Stanley Cup Final now, and we are ready to get back out on thin ice.
Mike, Katie, Georgie, how we doing? Everybody doing well? Ready for
Excellent.
The ride?
Excellent.
Doing awesome. Great, Matt. Like, how are we feeling, brother? You ready?
Well, we are feeling good, but Cliff, number three.
Number three.
We're going to dial things up here. All right, we're midway through the Stanley Cup final.
Oh, no.
We're not choking around.
What is that?
I have them in my hand. Yeah, these are smelling salts, ladies and gentlemen. Got them right here in my hand. I'm going to give a little sniff, see how things work.
Be careful. Those are potent.
I'm going to get closer if it doesn't hit me, right? Yep, I got it.
Okay. Okay, there you go.
That's it? That's as close. Whoa. You could smell it from that far away?
Katie, as someone who had a nice little bit of that before the show here, it is potent. Ryan Matlack is reeling at this point. He might be in outer space, which I don't know if they play hockey in space or not. I think Cliff is going to get on the ice.
He's handing it off.
Oh, dear God. For anyone watching on ESPN Plus right now, our staff here is in full pregame form right now. If none of the rest of this show works, Katie, it is because our staff here has gotten too hype in the club.
All right, Cliff, number two. Number two.
Number two.
All right, we saw politics enter hockey. That's right, folks. The Stanley Cup has become a part of an agenda. Not like a prime minister or a president, but a mayor. Cliff, hit that cut.
Here's what we would like. What we would like is for the Lightning to take it a little bit easy, to give the Canadians just the smallest break, allow them to win one at home, and then bring it back to the Amalie Arena for the final and the winning of the Stanley Cup. But we don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but they are playing some amazing, amazing hockey.
That was Mayor Jane Castor on July 4th. Interesting strategy, Jane. Let's see how it paid off. Number one.
Number one.
I love it when a plan comes together. Here we are. 3-1, I should say, is the series lead for the Lightning because the Habs stayed alive last night. Thrilling comeback victory. I saw a few of them myself against the Leafs. This definitely hits close to home. While a comeback is still unlikely to come back, you know, four games and win the Stanley Cup final, don't put anything past the Habs. This is an interesting one right here. The Canadiens' fifth home OT win this postseason, which, funny enough, ties last year's Lightning team, who also did the same feat. Now, keep in mind, that was in the bubble, so not technically home, but when they were the home team, they had that type of success that now the Habs are having. So a long way to go, but I think the Canadiens will always have a chance. And worth noting, every win matters. Carey Price's first Stanley Cup final win in his career took 91 postseason games to get there. I found that to be very cool. And Junior, as you know, he deserves it after this postseason run.
Standing on his head this postseason run, an outstanding job by Montreal weathering the storm. Last night, 4-minute power play to end regulation and into overtime where they got to win. All-time hustle play by Josh Anderson in that one as well to score the game winner.
Katie, how was it? Enjoyable? Good on thin ice there for you, first one there?
I thought it was excellent, but I want more. I thought this was going to be a longer segment. You need more airtime. Do you not have more to say?
See, he does need more airtime.
Can you just say that last part one more time for the
We're here to fan your flames, Matt Lack, not douse them.
Well, I appreciate that. See, Junior, that's the relationship of a producer and host. Katie and I used to work together on Best Week Ever before she asked for a new producer.
Yeah, exactly.
She wanted to get a new guy in there.
Hung this out to dry, buddy.
Listen, both, I wanted to mention this because it's worth that. We still talk about it. Unfortunately, the Blue Jackets and the hockey community at large lost a member of the community. The 24-year-old Matisse Kevlenics passed away on July 4th. This was due to a fireworks malfunction. He suffered chest trauma from an errant fireworks blast. Terrible, unthinkable tragedy. Had to mention it because it's something that a lot of people in the community have been talking about. The Bell Center held a moment of silence for him yesterday, which was obviously very thoughtful. And the worst part about this is going to affect other members of the organization. This took place at goaltending coach Manny Legacy's house. So it's really it's a heartbreaker, to be honest with you. And it's certainly something that a lot of people throughout the community, players, coaches, have been talking about, and something that the Janae and Gold Jr. Show certainly wanted to put a light on.
Yeah, I can say definitely wanted to reflect on that one, as you mentioned, just an unspeakably sad loss for the entire hockey community. You certainly think of his family, friends, those closest to him, and wrap your arms around everyone in this situation here. So good on you, Matt Lack, for making sure that we highlight a young man, unfortunately, lost far too soon in this situation here. We'll get back to the normal world of sports after this, coming up next hour on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.